It's my privilege to be able to kind of review the last year and just point us to what's going to be happening in the course of the next year. And I think the big story, of course, is this is the year that we finally emerged from the COVID crisis. If you think back to last autumn, we were still subject to some ongoing restrictions. We weren't able to have our national conference. We had our regional conferences. And if you were there in Cardiff and Edinburgh, we were still wearing face masks. As Christmas came, there was a whole raft of new restrictions that were imposed on churches. And once again, it was a privilege to be able to serve and represent our churches through this time, lobbying the government on their behalf, pointing out the rather daft provision that we had to wear face coverings in church except when we were singing, and explaining to our churches what the guidance meant. But I'm sure we are all glad that that has come to an end and we are not speaking about COVID. That means that the the other two-thirds of 2022 were really very much a time of regathering and restarting. And that was true for local churches, and it's been true for FIEC itself. We're delighted to have been able to get back to in-person conferences and events. And in FIEC, that's included the Hub Conference, the Thrive Conference, the Women's Pastors' Wives Conference, 25 local conferences, and now here, finally, our leaders' conference in a new venue with increased numbers. Actually, yes, I think as we've emerged from that period, I've said a number of times it wasn't really going to be until September that things would get back to normal and we'd be starting a kind of a new year on a new footing, and I think that has been the case. But it's still hard to see the full impact of COVID on our society. And add on top of that the death of the Queen, the war in Ukraine, political turmoil, and what looks like a tough economic outlook. But we can certainly see some of the effect on the church in our culture. And in many ways, COVID has speeded up what was already happening. Many of the mainstream denominations that have not been preaching the gospel faithfully are in meltdown, and that has been speeded up as a result of the COVID crisis. People have not come back to those churches, and many of them are facing both a financial and a ministry crisis. Church generally is facing a demographic time bomb, as congregations are elderly and they are not being kind of renewed. That's the kind of big picture of the decline of the church in the broadest sense in our nation. But yet at the same time, faithful gospel churches, it seems to me, have been experiencing a time of refining and also of growth. That's the other side of the story. And I want to suggest there are three things that really are, it seems to me, tremendous encouragements and ought to be encouragements to us. The first of those encouragements is that many FIEC churches are growing. One of the joys I've had after January is the opportunity to reconnect with many churches. I think since January, I've preached at 28 FIEC churches around the country. And what's been wonderful is finding that in many of those places, they are telling a similar story. In many of those churches, what's happened is as a result of the COVID period, new people have started coming. Many churches are reporting significant numbers of newcomers. There are people who have, during the COVID period, chosen to leave churches that either weren't preaching the gospel or were drifting from the gospel, and they've used our online services to check out the churches that are there, and they've moved to churches that have the biblical ministry that they've been looking for. But it's not just been a question of people moving churches. There have also been more conversions, more baptisms than there have been in the recent period. It's been wonderfully encouraging. I was at a church on the South Coast just this last Sunday. And in that church, just in the last year, they had a baptismal service in which 9 people were baptized. In the next month, they've got a service in which 5 people are going to be baptized. They're only a church of about 90 people. And that's just evidence of how God is at work. And I think that has been replicated at many of the churches that I have spoken at. Seems to me that it's often medium-sized churches that have fared best over this time. The reality is many smaller churches have struggled and COVID has perhaps led more to close more quickly than they otherwise would have done. And many larger city centre churches have lost people who've stopped commuting in and have perhaps moved out to other parts of the country. Kind of medium-sized churches where you've got a good community and strong sense of belonging are churches that have grown through this period. And I think what's encouraging is that churches are growing simply because of ordinary gospel ministry. Not actually because they're doing anything special. There's no particular magic bullet, but they're growing through ordinary gospel ministry. They're churches that love God, that love their neighbors, that love their enemies. They're churches where they love the word of God, where they love their people, where they love their community, and where they love the lost. Where those basics are being done, churches are growing. People are being converted. People are wanting to gather with God's people around his word. Actually, as that sort of a process of denominational decline is happening around us, more and more actually of our FIEC churches are having opportunities to buy buildings. That's another phenomena that's been kind of opening up. Maybe that's partly because through COVID, they've seen the value of having a place in the local community, but also that kind of closure of churches, plus to some extent, financial downturn, which means you can buy at the bottom of the market, has opened up real opportunities for many of our churches. I think more churches have been investing in buying buildings over this period than I've seen for some time. But despite all of those positive encouragements, of course, we do remember that we face a massive challenge. The vast majority of our population are still unbelievers who do not know Christ. And the population itself is growing as more and more people come to the UK, and we're barely keeping pace with that. Many of our towns and cities are expanding. All around the country, we heard from our kind of local conferences that they're building new estates, new communities on the edges of towns. One of the huge challenges is how are we going to get the gospel to those places? It's going to need renewed church planting, renewed church revitalization, if we're to get the gospel kind of out. So we cannot rest on the laurels of kind of growth against that background of massive need. One of the things that's hugely encouraged us in the course of this year has been hearing from you, the FIEC churches, about how you're seeking to reach out to more people with the gospel. We'll hear more about this, but we've been marking our 100th anniversary by our 100 projects initiatives. We've been blessed with about £1 million in our mission fund to give away. That was money that was given to us or came from closed churches for that dedicated purpose. And we've wanted to use it to be able to support and invest in the work of the gospel. And we invited our churches to submit our projects, and we were just thrilled to read project after project after project of what our churches are seeking to do to reach out to their communities. Some cases that might be church planting initiatives. Some kinds it might be just sort of initiatives in the life of the local church. There's a wonderful creativity on the part of our churches to want to be able to get the gospel out, and that is thrillingly encouraging. So FIEC churches are growing. Second encouragement is that FIEC itself is growing. FIEC itself is growing. The number of churches that are joining FIEC is growing, and there are a number of things that are contributing to that. It's independent churches that have seen the value of belonging to a wider network. I think COVID has helped a number of churches see the value of belonging to something better. They benefited from what FIEC has been doing to support churches, and they've wanted to join to be part of that. At the same time, there are churches leaving denominations that are shifting their position on same-sex marriage. And we're seeing an increasing number of churches want to consider joining FIEC. So we've had churches joining us from the Methodist Church, churches joining us from the Baptist Union, churches joining us from kind of Anglicanism, because they've wanted to be in a place where there is clarity about this whole issue of same-sex relationships. We expect that that will continue over the next couple of years. At the same time, there are still new plants. But it's wonderfully encouraging that over the last 10 years, we've had more than 250 churches join FIEC and want to become part of our family of churches. And it's not just numbers, but it's been wonderfully encouraging to see a growing diversity of churches joining FIEC, a diversity of our churches kind of theologically within the boundaries of our doctrinal basis, a diversity of churches culturally in terms of the different ministries that they have and the way they go about ministry, a diversity of churches geographically across all of the nations of the UK, and also a growth in the ethnic diversity of our churches. That's been slow, but we are making progress. At a congregational level, there seems to be a noticeable increase in the ethnic diversity of our congregations. That shouldn't surprise us. The statistics now tell us that 25% of UK evangelicals are from an ethnic minority background. We would expect to see that represented in our churches, much higher within evangelical churches than the population more broadly. And that's beginning to filter through in our churches. It hasn't quite yet filtered through to the same level in leadership. But we are also receiving more and more inquiries and contacts from black majority churches and diaspora churches about the FIEC as a network to which to belong. I think that growth of the FIEC brings both opportunity and responsibility, and we need to recognise both of those. It brings us opportunity for the gospel in our nation, but it also brings us particular responsibility to bring the gospel to our nation. Maybe we've been used to thinking of ourselves as small and insignificant, perhaps compared with others. Perhaps we wrongly think that the action is really somewhere else. But I think we need to recognise that that's not entirely true. The Lord has brought together this family of churches at a moment of immense need in the nation. And we need to recognise that the kind of the opportunity that comes from that potential, but the responsibility that it brings. From those who have much, much is expected. And actually, in the current UK evangelical scene, FIEC as a whole has much. And as we look at that context, I think we need to ask ourselves the question of, if not us, who, in the context in which we find ourselves. FIEC is growing, and it's thrilling to see the wider impact of our churches and our leaders for the gospel in the nation. Many of our churches were involved and at the forefront of the Passion for Life initiative. More than 250 FIEC churches took part in that. As I've re-engaged with events around the country in the course of this year, it's been wonderful to see the FIEC involvement as speakers and team members at events like Keswick, Word Alive, Bible by the Beach. To see FIEC involvement in gospel partnerships, Evangelical Movement of Wales. To see the significant FIEC involvement in the kind of training providers that are raising up the next generation of gospel workers. To see the significant investment and involvement in parachurch ministries serving as staff and serving on boards. FIEC churches and their leaders are often at the forefront of fostering new gospel initiatives to want to get the gospel out. And we want to partner with those initiatives that they are starting. I can't name them all, but just for example, the kind of Medhurst Ministries with its desire to want to reach urban deprived communities in the UK, or something like the Northern Gospel Project, which is being developed in Greater Manchester with a desire to want to kind of invest in gospel work in the north of England. They have their launch conference later in November. Those kinds of initiatives that FIEC churches and leaders are involved in are having a real impact for the work of the gospel in the nation. And I think as we have this kind of slightly larger group of churches, it means we have a greater responsibility, I think, to speak for evangelicals in the nation. Opportunities have emerged for us to do that through COVID, connections with government, and we're facing the challenge of significant issues like the proposals to introduce kind of a ban on so-called conversion therapy. No doubt the debates on assisted suicide and euthanasia will pick up again and will continue. And we need to work with those who are expert in lobbying and engaging with government, but we can't simply outsource that entirely to others. And we have the potential to be able to speak on behalf of a body of churches who are concerned about those issues. So FIEC itself is growing, which brings us both opportunity and, I think, responsibility that we must grasp. And then thirdly, FIEC's central capacity to help churches is growing. The FIEC central staff team are there to help churches so that they can be as effective as possible in ministry, so we can fulfill our objective of being independent churches working together to reach Britain for Christ. And actually, the COVID period has given us opportunity as a central staff team to reflect and to learn. I think through this period of time, we've learnt how to connect with churches and leaders in new ways. The weekly webinars that we established enabled us to engage with churches and leaders and wider eldership teams in a way that we hadn't done before. Well, although inevitably we haven't wanted to continue with a weekly webinar, we want to take those lessons and learn ways that we can connect. One of the key things we've done in this last year is launch our FIEC podcast, Independence. And through that, we've sought to help churches to navigate the challenges of contemporary culture, to know how to respond from a gospel perspective to what is happening, and to share kind of wisdom for ministry. They've been a really significant step forwards for the way that FIEC has sought to serve. I want to sort of give thanks particularly for the work that Adrian Reynolds and Joel Murray have done to bring those kind of podcasts together. If you haven't kind of accessed them yet, there is a growing body of a sort of material available through the FIEC website, touching on all different sorts of areas of church ministry. Please do take advantage of that material. It's also given us time to be able to sort of develop our strategic plan, which sounds very grand, but is really nothing other than a way of saying, how can we best use our resources to help our churches in the most effective way? We want to make sure that we're being effective in using what God has given us to best help our churches in the advance of the gospel. And so this time has given us some space to be able to do that. That's led to some internal reorganization and a structuring of the way that we work as a team. But it's also leading to the growth of our staff and our ministries. And you'll begin to see the fruit of that in this coming year. One of the key things that we've wanted to do is to bring FIEC closer to the churches on the ground. So there's not as much distance between the center and the churches. And the way that we're seeking to do that is by developing a network of what we're calling local directors, people who will be able to foster the FIEC network at a more regional and local level. Now, that's not something that we want to impose on churches from the center, but it's something we want to see growing organically from the churches on the ground because they think it's something that will benefit and help them. And the shape that it will take will be different in different places. This is something we're already doing with our directors for Scotland and for London. And we've seen in both of those contexts the massive benefit of having somebody on the ground who's able to connect with the pastors, bring the churches together, connect them to what's happening with them at FIEC centrally. What we've wanted to do is see that replicated in more places. And in the course of this next year, we've got a number of pilot projects, new areas where we're going to have people serving as local directors. So some of those who are stepping down from the Trust Board are not stepping down from serving FIEC. So Gareth Lewis is going to be taking up the role of Director for South Wales, serving and supporting our churches there. I'm delighted that Paul Mallard is going to be serving a day a week as our Director for churches in the West Midlands, again, fostering the links between those churches. And Paul is also going to be giving us a day a week, helping us think about theology in FIEC, doing exactly what he told us last night, helping us to have a kind of a theology that will equip and serve our kind of churches. And Mark Howson is going to be serving as director for the churches in Suffolk. All of those initiatives have been developed in consultation with the churches on the ground. They're not full-time roles, they're part-time roles with some financial support from FIEC where needed. But we'd love to see that kind of thing developed all around the country. Well, we expect it could take a multiplicity of forms. Sometimes it might be a mix of paid staff, pastors released by churches, perhaps a day or a couple of days a week to help serve more widely, making use perhaps of newly retired pastors who are able to give us a couple of days to fostering the network. And we think that's going to be really crucial to helping support gospel ministry on the ground. And it's possible for us to do that because of God's blessing to us as a fellowship, as we've been hearing financially. In the COVID period, we were able to build up surplus funds. And in this last year, we received a very generous gift of £150,000 to help support these new initiatives. What that does is it enables us to be able to invest in a sensible way as the fellowship continues to grow. So we've heard for these last 2 years, we've not increased church donations, not even by the rate of inflation. This year, we've needed to try to keep pace with inflation. Our greatest cost is the cost of our staff, and that's what your donations primarily go to support. But these resources that have been built up are going to enable us to invest and expand our team of local directors. At the same time, this kind of current year, we're going through a process of significant staff change and the need for staff recruitment. Some of that has been expected, some of that has not. As I'm sure you all know, we've been hit hard by the sickness of Johnny Prime, who's been off work since last January with his heart condition, which meant that he had to step down as our head of local ministries. Many of these projects that we've been speaking about, the local directors, are key areas that Johnny was working on and he would have been implementing this year, but hasn't been able to because of his condition. Well, we all rejoice that Johnny was able to have his operation in August and is making a good recovery. And it's our great hope that as Johnny recovers his strength and health, he will be able to return to FIEC to help support and serve pastors in a slightly different capacity. But I want to pay particular thanks to Andy Hunter, our Scotland director, who this year has stepped in to be acting head of local ministries and has done a remarkable job helping that area of work move forwards over the time that Johnny has been sick. But we are looking to recruit a permanent replacement head of local ministries. The adverts for that post went out earlier this month, and the closing date is the end of November. We're also looking over the course of this next year to recruit a new director for London. We're incredibly grateful for every way that Trevor Archer has served FIEC in his current role as London director, but Trevor's intention is to retire in the course of this next year. And we're looking to recruit to appoint someone to take on that work in London. And we've also advertised and we're looking to appoint a chief operating officer who will help us to run what is a growing organisation and staff team. And that's an absolutely key role. The adverts, again, have gone out. And if you know anybody who would be suitable for that, please do encourage them to look at that job advert and consider applying. And you can talk to Phil for more details. Andy Patterson, who's been serving as FIEC Mission Director, is also going to be retiring. We'll be hearing a little bit more about that. We're very grateful for Andy's service at FIEC, but it's vitally important that we continue to serve and support our churches in their mission. And so we're going to seek to support our churches in local church evangelism in the course of this coming year. And as well as recruiting staff, we're seeking to bring together teams to help develop key areas of our ministry. We want to draw not just on staff, but on the expertise of FIEC churches and leaders. So in the course of this year, we're going to be convening and bringing together teams to think about theology, leadership, discipleship, local church evangelism, and pastoral support for leaders. There are all ways in which we hope we'll be able to better able to serve our churches. Another area that's taken a huge amount of our time in the course of this year has been thinking about how churches can have healthy leadership. The COVID period has coincided with a number of high-profile leadership scandals, and the growing recognition across evangelicalism of issues of pastoral malpractice, or what's sometimes been called spiritual abuse. And that's covered a wide range of different sort of behaviours. In some cases, predatory abusers have been exposed to be in church leadership. In other cases, there have been individuals who've exercised a bullying or domineering leadership that's harmed individuals. In other contexts, the spotlight has been shone on dangers of favouritism and elitism within church leadership. In other contexts, problems of a theological narrowness in church and ministry. And in FIEC, we've been trying to both understand and respond appropriately to these challenges and to what's been revealed in a way that both respects our commitment to the independency of the local church, but that takes seriously our collective responsibility. Because by joining FIEC, we, in a sense, accept a measure of mutual accountability to one another, both as churches and as pastors who belong to the pastors' network. And this has been a developing area in which we've been learning. And the FIEC Trust Board, the staff, in consultation with safeguarding experts, have been working hard to develop policies and procedures that are fit for purpose. And that's a constant work in progress. It's been a developing area where we've needed to work on definitions and procedures to try to discern something of that line between strong leadership that's legitimate and bullying leadership. Spiritual abuse perhaps began initially as a category that was spoken of largely in psychological and sociological terms. But it's now, I think, rightly and helpfully being interrogated theologically. Affinity, under the leadership of Graham Nichols, has been sort of involved in a project to consider the issue of leadership in churches, and a book is going to be published in the coming year. And FIEC staff and pastors have considerably contributed to that work. Many churches have lacked ways in which people within the church can raise concerns. And so we've been working hard at helping churches to be able to have complaints procedures that will enable these issues to be able to be addressed appropriately within the life of local churches. So we've sort of been given a kind of a model complaints procedure that churches will be able to adopt if they wish to. I think we have to recognize that we are facing very often the challenge of leading voluntary associations in the contemporary culture, which is extremely difficult. And it's not just leaders who have sometimes been abusive of congregations, but there are also congregations and individuals in congregations who have been abusive of kind of leaders. It's a tough time for leaders as we navigate this new territory. Many people speak of being hurt by their church experience, and they've been given a new language to interpret this experience. We've had to remember once again that it's crucially important how we treat the weak and how we deal with difficult people. And there is something of a culture change going on, which is a generational difference. The younger generation thinks differently. Issues of bullying and harassment are taken with the utmost seriousness in schools and workplaces. And to some extent, as a church, we're catching up. And where change is necessary, we want to be able to help lead the way in that. Well, those are the things that we have been doing as FIEC, and some of the ways in which we seek to grow our capacity to be able to help and support our churches. And as I look back on this last year and look forward to the next year, I want to give thanks for the Trust Board. Thank you so much for all of your support and wisdom and oversight of us. I want to thank the FIEC staff team for their dedicated hard work, especially through what has been a very tough and difficult season. But I also want to thank you, the churches of FIEC. You are FIEC. And we are so thankful for you. We're so thankful for your prayers. We're so thankful for all of the ways you support our work. And we're especially grateful for your sort of financial generosity to support the ministries of FIEC. Well, as I come to a close, I want to leave you with just three challenges. We thought a little bit about the encouragements, but three challenges for us as we look into the future. Can I challenge you for three things? Firstly, please do get involved in FIEC and its ministries. We know that many of you as leaders through this period have been stretched and exhausted, and the focus has rightly been on local church. But as you begin to emerge from that and maybe have some more capacity and are feeling more refreshed, can we encourage you to get involved in FIEC and its ministries? Ian's already talked about the Trust Board, and every organization and charity has been struggling to find trustees who are willing to serve. We need those who are willing to serve in FIEC, not just on the Trust Board, but also in the teams that we're wanting to bring together so we can be as effective as possible in serving our churches. Secondly, can I urge you and challenge you to think about how we could serve you locally? I've spoken about the local directors that we're kind of wanting to serve the FIEC network. We've got a number of pilot projects, but we'd love over the next few years to do more. And can I urge you to think, is there a need in your area? Is there a way in which FIEC could help foster fellowship and support between the local churches in a way that's more effective? Is there a need for some kind of local input? And if there is, how might we be able to meet it? What would it require? Who would be the best person to do that? We'd love you to be thinking about that so that we can seek to develop our local network. And thirdly, this is a third challenge. Can I encourage you to kind of, in a sense, re-establish the training pipeline in our churches? There's a wonderful range of training options for ministry. But I think that the training pipeline is in danger of having been broken by the COVID crisis in terms of thinking about encouraging people to head into ministry. And we need those who are going to be prepared to lead, those who are going to become gospel workers in our churches in the future. And so can I encourage you to think again in your churches about how you might encourage people into gospel ministry. In a sense, there was a pipeline of people before COVID and they've kind of gone into training and that kind of pipeline has sort of been fractured and then there's a delay before a next group begins to move that way. That maybe is something that we need to start thinking about again. And we're going to be running our hub conference for those interested in the journey into ministry in January. Again, maybe are there people in your church who you could perhaps suggest come to that as a first step of thinking, maybe full-time gospel ministry might be for me. It's a crucial task for us to raise up the next generation. So it's FIEC's 100th anniversary this year. And I think in God's goodness, this is a great time of opportunity for FIEC. It's a time in which our nation needs gospel clarity combined with gospel generosity. It's a time in which what is needed is churches committed to biblical orthodoxy, but also committed to unity. It's a time in which we need to be humble and prayerful. It's a time in which there's no place for pride or for complacency. But it is a time in which we need collectively to grasp the moment of opportunity.